What a joy to be here with you all. Can you all hear me? Very good. I was all wired up, but I didn't turn it on. We wish Christmas would be celebrated every day of the year. How many of you like that idea? Yeah, think about this. Joy to the world, Hark the Herald, Silent Night, all these wonderful songs gone after 25th night. So 26th maybe. And then wait until 2026. What a joy it is to be here with you all and sing and worship and praise the Lord. I've been asked to speak to you all about a topic that is so close to my heart too. And I know some of you are thinking, let's just continue singing and worshiping. Yeah, but it's good to study the Word. It's good to hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The living Word of God has come to open our eyes to see the written Word of God. Oh, how precious it is for us to open the precious Word of God and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Can we do that, please? Join with me in prayer. Father in heaven, what a joy and privilege it is for us to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as friends, to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your Word that reveals to us what happened. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that has opened our eyes to see this truth. We thank you for the Spirit of truth that has convicted us, our hearts, of unbelief and to place our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us and help us, Lord, to listen to your voice. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. When Alvin Strait opened the letter, he was shocked. The news was not a good news. His brother Henry had suffered a stroke. The brothers had not spoken for over 10 years. Henry, 80 years old, lived in Wisconsin. Alvin, 75 years old. Of 73 years old, lived in Lawrence, Iowa. Alvin had a lot of medical problems. He was walking with two sticks because he had a lot of arthritis in his body and he couldn't walk. He had emphysema, so he couldn't breathe a lot. And besides all that, Alvin was legally blind, so he couldn't drive. But the news of his brother having a stroke touched his heart. What did Alvin do? Day after Independence Day, Alvin Strait set out to go to Wisconsin. Total distance, 240 miles. Mode of transportation, not a car, not a bus, not Amtrak. Alvin got on his John Deere lawnmower, which has a maximum speed of 5 miles per hour. True story. Across the sweeping prairie, past cornfields that stretched forever, across the shoulder of a four-lane Route 15, Alvin Strait lumbered on. Behind his mower, he towed a trailer stocked with gasoline, food, clothes, and a sleeping bag. He parked at the roadside, cooked on a camp stove, slept in the trailer. When he got close to his brother's home, his brother's wife opened the window and looked and said, "Henry, I think it's your brother. He's riding on a lawnmower, coming to see you." Oh, they had a wonderful reunion. Why did Alvin do what he did? Because he wanted to reconcile with his brother. For some of you who are thinking, is this real story? If you have an opportunity to drive past or drive through Lawrence, Iowa, ask for a museum that has Alvin Straight's lawnmower and the trailer that he towed. It's parked there. 240 miles. Nothing hindered him from going to his brother for one purpose. I want to reconcile with my brother. 2,000 years ago, he left his glory above, came to Israel in a town called Bethlehem, in a little manger, born to this little young girl called Mary, his name Jesus Christ. Why? One purpose: to reconcile man to God. That's the purpose that he came. Oh, that is the only reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago. To reconcile man to God. I'm sure you've heard this song and you've sung this song. Let's sing it. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Pause. What did we just say? What did we just sing? God and sinners reconciled. Why did Jesus come to this earth, friends? To reconcile man to God. In Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, we read, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Powerful verses. In the next maybe 10 or 15 minutes, I want to draw our attention to these verses that talk about the reconciliation of God. Do kids ask questions? Anybody here with preschoolers? I see your hand. Do kids ask a lot of questions? We have three children, and when they were little, they asked a lot of questions. And it is said that an average first grader asks about 300 questions a day. Whew, that's a lot of questions. Listen to this. While an average high schooler asks less than 3. So while a teenager's mind might be teeming with big questions, they are reluctant to ask them aloud. Oh, did you know this? They did a survey. I don't know where they did the survey, and also they did this. Basically, they just went around asking a lot of questions with these kids. But also in some place, I don't know exactly where, but they did a study. Yeah, thank God for surveys and studies, right? But some of them are reliable, some subject to change. in one of the studies, they took three-year-old kids, they put them in a classroom, and they had two teachers, one who pretended to know all the answers, another one who pretended, who knew all the answers, but pretended to know nothing. And when the kids were asked to ask questions, guess what? Quickly they decided, it's a waste of time to ask questions to this person who does not know the answer. Kids knew this. They go to the reliable source. Isn't it good to ask questions? We're going to ask and answer three questions. First, why should I be reconciled to God? What did I do? How can I be reconciled to God? What do I do? And three, what happens when I'm reconciled to God? How do I know that? How do I know that? Why should I be reconciled to God? What did I do? Why should I be reconciled to God? What did I do? Friends, the Bible says there were enemies of God. Enemies. Enemies. In Tamil Nadu, where we're from, my wife and I, and I know several of you here who speak Tamil, you've heard, and maybe even we've spoken this, they say Kaya Parama. Maybe in some other languages in the southern part of India, you have the same words, but maybe you pronounce it different. Kaya Parama. We use that for ripe and unripe fruit, but we also, have you done that? You know, when you're an enemy of somebody or when you don't like somebody, you say Kai. When you get back into relationship, param. Very good. You say that. Kaya parama. And some of you are thinking, what does that mean? Well, I don't know more than that. I mean, it's just that they say, kaya means I'm your enemy. And I'm sure we've done that and we've seen little ones. And they have even signs that say, kai, which means I don't want to talk with you. You're my enemy. After a few days, param. We're together, this relationship. Kaya parama. Researchers say that at an early age of 3, children can start to think of others as enemies. Enemies. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you who once were alienated, means cut off or separated from, and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What makes someone an enemy of God? The Bible says, not me, wicked works. Sin makes us enemy of God. And what about this sin? Is it something that I do on the outside? Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All of this comes from our heart. And as a result, the Bible says, we're enemies of God. And so what is it about this sin? Friends, the Bible says that for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're born in sin. Why do we do what we do? Why do we say what we say? It's because of our heart. It's on the inside. Paul Little said, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Let me read that again. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Oh, you've heard this before. An apple tree is not an apple tree because it bears apples. It bears apples because it has the nature of an apple tree. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You don't have to teach a two-year-old to speak a lie. Even if parents protect their children so well and they make sure that they read only good books and watch good programs in TV, but listen to this, please. You place a plate of cookies on the countertop at Christmas time and all those chocolate chip cookies that are freshly baked from the oven, and you tell your two-year-old you're not supposed to touch it. We'll get it to you when it's time. You turn back and you look. The hand reaches. Why? Born in sin. Result, enemies of God. Enemies of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Friends, please listen to me. This is what the Bible teaches. And that's why it's not what we do on the outside that takes care of what's on the inside. Impossible. Because of a heart that is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The Bible says it's on the inside. No matter what I do on the outside, absolutely nothing's going to happen. Because the root is on the inside. I'm sure some of you worked as a physical therapist, and some of you have worked as a therapist, and you still do, and you've been to a therapy, and you know, somebody comes to you and say, I have pain in my lower back, and I have weakness in my leg, and I'm not able to walk. Well, we tell them, yeah, we can treat your pain, we can treat your weakness, but the root problem is in your disc with all the signs and symptoms. Take care of that. You know what the root problem is, friends? Sin. Result, enemies of God. Second question, how can I be reconciled to God? What do I do? Again, going back to that verse. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came to be born in a cradle in Bethlehem. Why? He wanted to go from cradle to the cross. And that was his mission. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came. And that's why we must listen to what the Bible says. He was pierced for our iniquity. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised. He was crushed for our iniquities. Pierced for our transgression. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. He came to be born as a little baby. Why? When he was 33 and a half years old, he went to the cross. Why? To pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. So that you and I will be reconciled to God. That's the only purpose. That's the only purpose. What separated us from God? What made us enemies? Sin. Where is the sin? Inside. Can we do something about it? Can we go to a place so we can our sins be washed? No. Can I give something so that my sin can be removed? No. Can I go to someone and ask them to do something to me for my sin to be removed? No. Can I assume that my sin is removed because I'm born and raised in a good God-fearing Christian family, going to church, reading the Bible, praying? No. Why? It's only by what Jesus did. Not by what you and I did. Not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Death of his son. Friends, let's not forget this. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection. It is only by that we have reconciliation with God. Reconciliation. Jesus Christ came to reconcile man to God. He took your sin and my sin upon himself. Sacrifices and offering you did not desire, but a body you have given me, he said. Why? To do your will, O God. And what was that will? Give my life. Your sin, my sin, upon him. But the verse continues in Romans chapter 5, and it says, through whom also we received reconciliation. Through whom also we received reconciliation. Friends, Jesus came to reconcile man to God. But listen, the Bible says he did it. Yes, he did it. Do I believe it? Absolutely. Because the word says, and I believe it. But here's something that is very important. This reconciliation must be received. It must be received. Christmas time, since this is not working, I would appreciate if somebody could help in the slide transfers, please. Thank you. The greatest present of this season cannot be purchased or held. It must be received. When somebody gives you a gift, you receive it. There's only two things you can do when someone gives a gift. Either receive it or... I don't think anybody does that, right? I mean, even if you don't like the way it's wrapped. Kids expected a big gift and they got a little small gift. Guess what they do? With a sad countenance, they still receive it. Gift must be received. Friends, reconciliation has been done by Jesus Christ, but it must be received. How do we receive it? By faith in Christ, trusting in him, believing in him. Three letters, A, B, C. Never forget that, right? A, acknowledge that you and I were enemies of God because of sin. Acknowledge that and say, God, I'm an enemy because of sin. B, believe in him. Believe in who? In Jesus. Not in anyone else. Not in church. Not in organizations. Absolutely nothing. He did it. Believe in him. C, confess and say, oh God, I'm born in sin. Enemy of God. I believe in you, Lord. Believe in who? In the name of Jesus. And we will receive that gift, that reconciliation from God. Finally, what happens when I am reconciled with God? How do I know? Well, the text says, go back and read that if you like to. The text says, we are saved. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our sin upon him, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And because he has life, he gives me life. I am saved. Yes. Saved. Oh, people sometimes hear that word and say, what is that word? Simple definition, delivered. You and I, friends, are being delivered from sin. Not by knowing it, not by reading it, not by going to a place, not by giving something, not by accepting something. No, no, no. Simply by receiving this reconciliation that he, Jesus Christ, has obtained for us on the cross of Calvary by bringing us to God. Receive. Receive. We have salvation. And as a result, we have peace with God. Peace with God. That's why we read in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm sure you've heard of people who have been enemies, countries that have been enemies. There is no peace. But when a person believes in the name of Jesus Christ and is reconciled with God, they know for sure without a shadow of doubt in their mind that they have peace with God. Would you allow me to ask this question, my dear friends? And I'm sure the ICF group, every single person in that group will want those who are here for the first time to hear this question. Do you know without a shadow of doubt in your mind that you have peace with God? I heard a pastor say this one time. If you go and talk to a married man and say, are you married? And most of the men would say, yes, I am. You will never hear somebody say, I think I am. That's a very dangerous thing. If somebody says, I think I am married. Friends, you have peace with God? I think I have peace with God. No. If you have been reconciled, if you have received the reconciliation, you know without a shadow of doubt in your minds and in your heart that you have peace with God. Peace with God. And as a result, the Bible says that you will be filled with joy. Joy. Not just happiness. Not just happiness. Joy. Joy. A mother took a young boy, a little boy, to a store. And she said, I'm going to get you a Christmas gift. And she said, just wait here patiently and let me go get it for you. Just stay here. And he said, Mommy, but I want that gift. And mom said, no, I'm going to get you a gift. No, but I want that. Have you seen kids have temper tantrums? How many of you have gone to a store and says, why did I come right here? Temper tantrums. I want that gift. So after a lot of pressure, the moms yielded to that and said, okay, I'll get that gift for you. Christmas Eve, the family had on the tree, sharing gifts with one another. The little kid held on to that gift and said, wow, I got what I wanted. Older brother comes to him and says, you are a fool. Why? Mom had a huge gift planned for you. And you wanted that insignificant, tiny gift that's not going to last very long. She was going to get you a big, huge gift. And you were adamant for that one specific gift. And so you had it. You've got it. Friends, it's good to share gifts. It's good to enjoy Christmas. Sharing, giving gifts, that's great, that's wonderful. But can I ask you something? The most precious gift that you can receive in your heart is to know that Jesus has forgiven your sin. Cleansed and washed by the power of the Jesus Christ's blood. Listen to me, friends. Let's not settle for something that's insignificant, that's transient, that passes quickly from us. Bible says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. Oh, would you not be offended if I say this? I'm sure many of you have heard this. I'm sure you've read this. I'm sure you've talked about it. I'm sure you've sung about it. My dear friends, on December 21st, ICF Christmas celebration, would you allow me to ask you this question? Do you know for sure that you have received this reconciliation? The gift is offered. I'm not saying, do you know about it? Hear about it. Sing about it. Talk about it. Pray about it. No. All of that can be done. But here's what I want to ask you. Have you truly, sincerely, come to a point in your life when you said, God, I'm an enemy because of sin that is on the inside. 2,000 years ago, you sent your son to die for my sin, my transgression upon you. Forgive my sin of unbelief. And Lord Jesus, I receive by faith that reconciliation. You are instantly transferred from being an enemy to a child of God. Instantly. He came for his own, but his own did not receive him. But those who received him, to them he gave the power to become the child of God. Looking at what's happening in the world around us, I don't think we need ChatGPT to tell us that things are getting worse. And I know you and I are frustrated and want to ask this question. What has happened to this world? With all the technological advances and all the things that's happening, what has happened to this world? Well, E. Stanley Jones, a missionary to India, wrote in his book, The Abundant Living, let's not ask what has happened into this world. Let's ask what has come into this world. Jesus Christ. To reconcile you and me to God. We want to close with this song. He was bruised for our transgressions. He bears eternal scars. He was raised for our salvation, and his righteousness is ours. Praise, oh, praise him. Praise the glory of his lavish grace, oh, full. Lift your souls now and receive the glorious impossible. If the Lord has spoken to you, friends, please don't leave this place without talking to somebody. Today is the day. Today is the day that you can be assured without a shadow of doubt in your mind that you've been reconciled with God and you've received that reconciliation. There are many classrooms around here. The sanctuary is here. Please listen to me, would you? Please listen to me. Do not miss this opportunity. If the Lord has spoken to you, speak to one of us. We'll lead you to the saving faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you can drive your car back home saying, Hallelujah, praise be to God.